I told you I got up at 3:30 this morning, and then I didn't tell you that I got up again at probably about 5:30. And then I finally woke up without the alarm going off, and it was because I was so thankful to be God's herald, to bring His message to you today. And I hope that your heart and minds are prepared to receive the word that He has for you and me today. Over the course of several sermons, we are learning that the fruit of the Spirit is holy. And it should be recognizable. It should be clear in the life of every true disciple of Christ. Several weeks ago, we learned that it is from love, joy, and peace that God uses the Holy Spirit to ripen our relationship with Him. Today we'll see how the fruit of patience and kindness and goodness, that will cultivate our relationship with others. From our primary passage in Scripture today, there are three virtues. These three virtues keep us, that is, patience and kindness and goodness. It keeps us from spiritual pride that, if unchecked, leads to legalistically judgmental attitudes and condemning of others. Patience, kindness, and goodness. Those allow us to be the source of good thinking, of good attitude, good behavior towards others. And in several weeks, we will grow through the maturing process of applying faithfulness and gentleness in self-control in handling opposition. Now, similar to Matthew's version of the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 5 through 7, our scripture reading today comes from the Gospel of Luke. So I ask you here this morning, whether you're in our congregation or you are in our congregation live, that if you will please follow along with me in your Bible as we read about some guidance that Jesus gives us in our relationship with others that is derived from His Sermon on the Plain. And it is found in Luke chapter 6, verses 37 to 45. Judge not, and you will not be judged. Condemn not, and you will not be condemned. Forgive, and you will be forgiven. Give, and it will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, will be put into your lap. For the measure you give will be the measure you get back. He also told them a parable. Can a blind man lead a blind man? Will they not both fall into a pit? A disciple is not above his teacher, but everyone, when he is fully taught, will be like his teacher. Why do you see the speck that is in your brother's eye, but do not notice the log that is in your own eye? Or how can you say to your brother, "Brother, let me take out the speck that is in your eye," when you yourself do not see the log that is in your own eye? You hypocrite. First take the log out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to take out the speck that is in your brother's eye. Verse 43. For no good tree bears bad fruit, nor again does a bad tree bear good fruit. For each tree is known by its own fruit. For figs are not gathered from thorns, nor are grapes picked from a bramble bush. The good man, out of the good treasure of his heart, produces good. And the evil man, out of his evil treasure, produces evil. For out of the abundance of the heart, his mouth speaks. May the Lord bless each and every single one of you exceedingly in the reading of His Word today. Pledged in our church covenant, and if you are not sure what our church covenant says, I encourage you to go to our website for First Baptist Church of Piedmont, South Carolina, if you're watching across the country or around the world. And you can actually go to our documents that has our church covenant in it. And I encourage you to read it because we have pledged that, promised that, given an oath to not only the Lord, but to one another. We promised that we will allow the fruit of God's Spirit to grow in our lives. In so many ways, when we think that we are bearing fruit, our fruit is so anemic because so many things of this world and our sin nature and Satan use as overgrowth. I know we have a lot of farmers as well as firemen in our congregation. And I know that a lot of our farmers would say that if you have things that are growing over fruit that you're trying to grow, it will not grow to its fullest because it has so much is being blocked by the sun. Brothers and sisters, you and I have a lot of things that need to be pruned back in our life if we are honest with the Lord and with ourselves. There is no way that we can be able to allow the fruit of the Spirit to grow in our life. There is no way we can have a healthy, godly, Christ-centered relationship with one another if we do not allow the gardener to prune back, get rid of the foliage, to allow us to produce more fruit. Are you willing or are you going to allow pride to continue to kick the can down the road? And I will tell you, there will be a price to pay if you do that. In other words, and to make this very clear, we are praying, continuously praying with all humility and a contrite heart. We are praying for God to develop His character, God's character in our lives. Merriam-Webster defines character as the attributes or features that make up and distinguish an individual. It is the complex of mental and ethical trait marks. I love that. Trait marks. And often individualizing a person, a group, or a nation. May I say, and a congregation. And go further and say, the congregation at First Baptist Church of Piedmont, South Carolina. And we know from the last sermon that these trait marks can only be produced by the Holy Spirit who is doing the work in us that God can only do. Why is it important that we bear the fruit of God's Spirit? Remember, because just like it is the main role of the Holy Spirit, we are here to be sure that we are bringing glory to Jesus Christ. That's why we bear the fruit of the Spirit. It is through the work of the Holy Spirit that results in 9 virtues or trait marks of fruit in our lives. The deed, action, or the result of the Holy Spirit has all 9 of these characteristics developing in our life at the same time. Again, let me remind you that these virtues are not for us to pick and choose. You are either allowing the Holy Spirit to cultivate your character as His own, or instead of pursuing a life of holiness, you are sedimentary and atrophying spiritually, mentally, emotionally because of unconfessed sin. The fruit of the Spirit comes as a whole package. It is a whole package to a life lived for Jesus and guided by the Holy Spirit. For the good person, out of the good treasure of their heart, produces good. And the evil person, out of their evil treasure, produces evil. You cannot have good and evil producing at the same time. Our actions are an outward expression of our inward being. So let me ask you this. From out of the abundance of your heart, and your heart, and your heart, does your mouth speak the fruit of the Spirit with clarity of vision, or does it speak evil that really is no different than what the world promises? In fact, you have evil come out of you, the world is applauding you. While you stumble into the pit alongside of your blind guide. When you hear someone using vulgar language, I will tell you that I believe that they really don't have a communication problem. They have a heart problem. It is out of the heart that truly defines a person in Matthew 15 and Mark 7. It states that what proceeds out of the mouth comes out of the heart, and they defile the man. These three virtues, we're going to start with patience or forbearance. I want you to know, as I was preparing for this sermon, I was hoping to find an illustration about how practical — I'm a practical application kind of preacher — how the fruit of patience works. And then it came to me. Sherry, my wife Sherry, had sent me over to Walmart to pick up some things at Walmart. So I went into the store, and when you go in, I like to go over to the cupcakes. You said cupcakes, so I hope I can get some cupcakes afterwards. But I went over there to that part of the store, and as I'm walking through there, I see this man with a 3-year-old child who is really not sitting very well in the cart. And as I go up there and I'm looking at the bread and I'm squeezing the bread, because that's what my mother taught me to do. I squeeze the bread to make sure it's fresh and wonderful. That's not a plug for wonderful bread, wonderful. But this kid, this child, this 3-year-old was screaming his head off wanting a cupcake. And I was just amazed. The dad said, "Now, Billy, this won't take long." And I was just kind of surprised at the dad's response, because this kid wanted this cupcake. Well, I proceeded on, went over to get my creamer from the dairy, they have that, and I'm going down another aisle that has candy, and there the father is again, and this 3-year-old is screaming his head off wanting a candy bar. And the dad said, "Billy, just calm down. We'll be done in just a few minutes." And then I went down some of the other aisles, and I went down the cereal aisle, and the 3-year-old completely lost it. Completely lost it. Was standing, jumping up and down inside the cart. But the dad had a pretty cool head, and he said very softly, he says, "Billy, settle down. We are almost out of here." And even though the child was kicking and screaming throughout the store, the dad did not show any sign that he was going to lose any type of patience or control. The dad simply said, "Billy, we will be in the car in just a few minutes, and then everything will be okay." Well, I got to tell you, I'm sitting there thinking of my sermon, and I'm thinking of patience. And I was so impressed with his dad. And then I had noticed that he had a T-shirt on that actually had a church logo on the T-shirt. So I went up to him and I stopped him in the parking lot because I wanted to know from him what was the source of him being so patient with this three-year-old. And I said, "Sir, I could not help but watch how you handled little Billy. You were just amazing." But then he quickly interrupted me and he said, "Hey man, I don't think that you get it, do you? I'm Billy. Come on, the dad's name is Billy. Stay up with the story, guys." So they drove off and I just stood there, and it looks like the story is not going to help me very much with my sermon. And I know some of you will get in the car driving away and you'll say, "Oh, the pastor, it was the dad's name was Billy." Yeah, that was the part of the joke, but all right. If I don't get better responses, you're going to get fewer and fewer jokes. Okay, no cupcakes, yes. In the New Testament, patience is translated to mean remaining under, like one that bears under the burden of something. It refers to a steadfastness in difficult times. When we talk about patience or forbearance in Galatians chapter 5, patience literally means long-tempered as opposed to short-tempered, a kind of long-suffering without complaining. This type of patience will be slow to anger as one waits for God to provide comfort and punish wrongdoing. But this kind of patience cannot be empowered in the life of a Christian without the power and the work of the Holy Spirit. I want to have you understand something, as I believe all these different virtues of the fruit of the Spirit, patience comes from a position of power. Even though you could lash out without thinking, by the way, I truly believe that when a person lashes out without thinking and is short-tempered, it actually is a weakness. But patience is a power of compassion in the hopes of deliverance. Through this source of power, you choose to love that person and want the best for them. In pursuing Christ-likeness, you can do this because you possess, are you listening? You possess the patience of Christ. It was from this same type of patience that God waited on you as a sinner, which led to repentance and your salvation. Now, the opposite of patience is agitation. It's discouragement. It's a desire for revenge. Our God has something much better for you. Our God has peace. He has hope and praise and love towards others. We cannot produce this divine virtue unless, are you ready? Unless you let God be God in your life. Henry Nouwen from The Bread for the Journey once wrote, and I love this, "Patience is a hard discipline. It is not just waiting until something happens over which you have no control. Patience is not a waiting passively until someone else does something. Patience asks us to live the moment to its fullest, to be completely present in the moment, to taste the here and now, to be where you are. When you are impatient, you are trying to get away from where you are. We behave as if the real thing will happen tomorrow or later or somewhere else. Let's be patient and trust that the treasure we look for is hidden." Are you ready? Let's be patient and believe that the treasure is hidden in the ground on which we currently stand. Instead of choosing to retaliate, let's endure sufferings and choose to love others instead through the power of the Holy Spirit and leave the results up to God. Then we come to kindness. This spiritual virtue is one of tender concern and uprightness. It is the kindness of the heart and kindness of act. It is this character of God that actually leads us to salvation. This character of God that leads us to greener pastures and to quiet waters. It is this character of God that restores our souls. It is God's goodness and tender care that gathers us under His wing to protect us and keeps us close to Him even when we go astray. Jesus demonstrated kindness on many occasions when He stopped what He was doing to help others who were in need. You demonstrate this type of kindness when you are tender, when you are benevolent, and when you're useful to others. When your words and your actions have the flavor, when your words and your actions have the flavor of God's grace in it, you won't be so quick to trap yourself in the self-righteous judgment, attitude, and behavior. But remember, it can only be accomplished through the work of God. And then we come to the virtue of goodness. As we bear the fruit of the Holy Spirit, watch this. As we bear God's fruit of the Holy Spirit, our character is changing. You are changing. Praise God, we are changing. We no longer harbor selfishness or cruelty or rebelliousness and spite, but rather these nine character of God virtues, one of which is goodness that relates directly to morality. As a virtue, goodness, watch this, goodness is holiness in action. Deeds motivated by righteousness that desire to be a blessing to others. Translated uprightness of heart and life, goodness is directed to doing good for the benefit of the others. It is not simply for the sake of being virtuous. I will tell you, I have never seen so many people in this congregation of First Baptist Church that demonstrate these virtues anyplace else than I've ever been. And if I don't move on, I'm going to start crying. In James chapter 1, verse 17, it states, every good thing given and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights. In other words, divine goodness is not a quality that you can manufacture on your own. But when others see the good works of the Holy Spirit in and through our lives, they will praise the Father in heaven. In Scripture, God gives us instructions on how we should relate one to another. If you do a word search of two words, one another, which is something that I did in the Bible Gateway website, you will find references that direct us about our relationship with others. You have in your bulletin an insert. And I'm holding this up, and if those that are watching online, if you would like to have a copy of the insert, you can call the office. We'll be glad to get that to you. But I want you to pull this insert out for me right now. This handout that cites just a few actions that we may take, but can only be done through the work of the Holy Spirit as He produces the character of His fruit in our lives. Look at what William Higgins points out, and I give you also some additional verses for you to look up. This is just 14 of them, but I encourage you to go and do a word search on one another. But he shows that we are to love one another, to welcome one another, to bear one another's burdens, to be at peace with one another, to serve one another. In Ephesians 4:2, it says, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, we're to bear with one another in love. In Ephesians 4:32, it says, to be kind to one another, tender-hearted. To forgive one another, to be humble before one another, to teach one another, to pray for one another. Something very hard to do, but I will tell you, it will be transforming in your life if we practice to confess our sins to one another. Paul says that we are to always seek to do good to one another. And then finally, to encourage one another. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. These are trait markings of our character that directly affects our relationship with God. Excuse me. It also affects our relationship with one another in the body of Christ. But I'm not ending here. If we are not bearing these fruits, it also has a material change. It has a material effect. It has a material result in our relationship with the world around us. I would contend that the generation born between 1927 and 1945, they call it the silent generation or the builders, were better examples and witnesses for Christ to their families, friends, neighbors, and communities than we are today. Also included in your bulletin, in the handout on the back side, are several charts derived from a February 2021 survey that was conducted by the Cultural Research Center at Arizona Christian University on the subject of generational transitions in significant beliefs and behaviors, as well as generational differences in spirituality. I encourage you to closely examine these findings and suggest that you read Dr. Susan Berry's article, and it's entitled, Survey, 43% of Millennials Don't Know, Care, or Believe God Exists. I give you the site at the bottom of the page. The surveys are categorized into four generational groups. We talk about the believers, 1927 to 1945. Then we have the baby boomers between 1946 and 1964. We have Generation X between 1965 and 1983, and the millennials between 1984 and 2002, give or take. Let me ask you this question. And I need you to hear me right now because I think my brain is about ready to explode because the spirit in me is about ready to jump right out of my heart. Is our character demonstrating the Holy Spirit's virtues of patience and kindness and goodness to our younger generations? Well, under the category of belief and behavior, you see in the chart that says that you shall treat others as you want them to treat you, it says that 48% of millennials respond yes, whereas 38% of millennials took the position that you should try to get even with people who have wronged you. That's frightening. Considering generational spirituality, 83% of builders, and I thank those in that category. That's why I think it's so important to spend that precious time with Dr. Deviney and Sarah and Jane and Hazel and all those from that generation. God bless you. Thank you for being a part of my life. 83% of them consider themselves to be Christian, but only 57% of millennials claim their profession of faith in Christ. 70 to 72% of builders and baby boomers say that they praise, thank, and worship God each week, whereas only 45% of millennials do the same. In fact, the survey concludes with an estimated maximum sampling error of approximately plus or minus 2%, points that 43% 43%. 43% of millennials don't care, don't know, or don't believe that God even exists. Do these generations truly know that we are faithful Christians by our love and kindness that we show even to those who hate us and who may be unkind to us? What action are we taking to demonstrate the Holy Spirit-filled followers of Christ are different from what the world has to offer and worth pursuing in their own lives? How could you not want to support the outreach into this community? How could you not want to help and be the first to say to Lori and to that committee, I will volunteer and help. I will bring young people to come to VBS on June 7th to the 11th. I will help put door hangers out so that the people on the highways and byways can see the difference that's in our life, that they are struggling in blindness and falling into pits, being led astray by evil in this world. Having the young people, giving them the support of Terrific Tuesdays from June 15th to August 3rd. How can I help them? What examples are we setting for Gen Z, which is 1995 to 2012, or Gen Alpha, which is 2013 to 2025 generations? We can make a difference. We can make a difference in your life and your family and those within your sphere of influence by starting fresh today with a prayer of confession. That's where it has to be. It has to be a prayer of confession first. Dr. Deviney wrote a paper, and one of these days, with his permission, he's already given me on the working of the Holy Spirit. I am telling you, that is powerful. The work of the Holy Spirit begins with a profession and confession that we similar to the one that Dr. Bill Bright said from Campus Crusade for Christ. And I'm going to pray that prayer right now, and I want you to pray with me. I want you to close your eyes here and at home, and I want you to really look deep within yourself, within your heart. Is your heart of goodness or is your heart of evil? And you need to pray this prayer in order to get things right, in order for you to put on the mind of Christ, in order for you to step out and everything you think, say, and do have eternal value. Because everything else you do is a waste of time outside the working and the glorifying of Jesus Christ. Please bow your head with me. If this is the attitude and the desire of your heart, you could pray this prayer to yourself. But I ask that if you feel that there's any type of unconfessed sin in your life, that you need to get this right. And we're going to do it right now, right here, right now. Dear Father, I need you. I acknowledge that I have been in control of my own life and have sinned against you. I thank you for forgiving me of my sins through Christ's death on the cross for me. I now invite Christ to take back control of my life. Not only dwell me, but fill me with the Holy Spirit as you have commanded me to be filled. You promised in your word that you would fill me if I ask in faith. As an expression of my faith, I now thank you for filling me with your Holy Spirit, for taking control of my life, and producing the fruit of your Holy Spirit in my life, so that I may glorify my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Help me to be a better witness today to lost souls of every generation who are in the world that is filled with darkness. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. As we come to the close, Professor Green commented that we must be godly people before we will truly act as godly people. Character begets behavior. If you have never received Jesus Christ into your life as your personal Lord and Savior, you can come forward now and receive the Lord's free gift of salvation, His forgiveness of all your sins, and allow Him the freedom to provide you with His Holy Spirit in order that you can now bear the fruit of the Holy Spirit in your life. He has an eternal plan for you You just need to come to Him today. Jesus is waiting. Will you sing, "I Come"? He's waiting for you. You come now.